Now, some things pay attention to you just because you want them. Things that really come to you when you want them badly enough. I'm not talking about any secret. I mean things from outside. Things that focus in on you. But other things come to you because you need them. Really, truly need them. And that need means that, of course, you are willing to pay attention to them, to give them your dedicated focus. And when you do, when you see a need, see it fulfilled, and then are grateful, are focused, then you have access. There is an access way into you which can touch the deep place. The place where your needs are ranked and considered in the first place, and from which you plan to meet them. But you only need things in one dimension, on one channel. If you know more, you need more. There have been things you have been neglecting despite not knowing you're neglecting them. Things you have left to the wayside, in spite of everything. And now you may know. And now you may see. And all it takes is to set aside the world as it existed before, and breathe steady and calm. The opening of your mind. Opening and understanding that all needs are handled. All things are out of the way. There is only you, and where you rest, and with what you rest. And the longer you wait, the more in tune you are. The longer you experience this moment, the more connected you are. Connected not just to yourself, but connected to the world. And when you connect to the world around you, you relax. When you connect to the world around you, you connect to more beyond it. And you connect to the fact you're laying comfortably, breathing deeply, in and down. In and slow, in and down, deeper than you know, deeper than you normally go, relaxed. Everything has a haze, a simple corona of light around it, and the place in which you rest is comfortable, warm, well lit, and from the air around, it clearly has a story to tell. You awaken, relaxingly positioned, bare as you are, nude and comfortable, laying on a bed so soft it almost seems to pull you down. But sleep is in the past because there is a thrumming, a faint buzz in the air, a pleasant aroma that fills your head, floods your mind. Places you in a state of consideration. You could just go back to bed and let whatever it is pass. And you're dripping, drooling, mind melting away. It feels good. The scent is in the air. You want to find the source of that thrum. That thrum, it's entering into you. Parts of you feel better and better. You have more energy with which to seek out the sound, because the shade of that sound is more than anything you've heard, just thrum, buzz, like a vibration, bass and warm, covering you over with a body-filling, mind-filling light, the thrumming. You look up, the sound pauses. And then it resumes again, and you get to feel the qualitative difference between the world when the sound is paused and the world when the sound is going. Sound normally arrives on one channel, comes in through your ears, hits your mind. It can remind you of things, it can help you feel things. But this sound, when it stops, you're missing more than just one frequency. It's not just your ears, you're missing more. You're missing a second frequency, a fourth, a sixth, and so on. If information could come in on more than what you ordinarily receive, like there's just this reservoir of 100, 1,000 channels, and your head can maybe receive leave one or two or three or four of them. So you get one and two and three and four, but they're all different frequencies. One second you're hearing frequency one, which is the one you hear with your ears, and then another one that you hear with something deeper, with spirit, with ache, with libido. The thrum arrives, but you have a channel. It's like having slots that you can fill different things into. But what gets filled into them? Well, one of them is always taken by channel one, but if you have three or four other slots, maybe channel two and four and six and eight are in them, but a minute later channel eight fades out and channel seven fades in instead. A thrumming. It's vibrating through you. It's massaging you, and it's coming from a wall nearby, the same place that scent is coming from. The heat between your legs increases enough that you are dripping, openly dripping. You slide toward it. You press against the wall. You push one hand against it. Vibration. Warm. You get the sense that maybe you could push on it, and again, when you touch it, when you put your hand on it, sure, the ordinary feeling of touch arrives in your head, but under it, a second frequency in another slot. Maybe it's channel two or three. It changes from moment to moment. The wall feels like soft, flat, thrumming wall. The scent arrives in your brain, bathing over you, washing your mind away, slowly coating you in the honey, the delight, the truth of, oh yes, this moment is good. This is what you want. You breathe it in deeply on purpose, salivating, dripping between your legs, your mind caught on the idea that you are receiving so much more information than normal. Whatever's arriving at you, it's coming from a place where there are 100 frequencies, 1,000 or more, and because of that, you can only receive so much. You see the ordinary bit that suits your normal ordinary ears, your human, mortal experience, but you also keep receiving glimpses of the other channels, which fill as much of your excess brain space as they can, bathing it awash. You're blank, you're deep, it's true, simple, easy. You lay not just your hand, but one of your feet on the wall, getting the sense that it may be more malleable than you thought. Something about the sense of touch is giving you more information. Information that maybe you or something else could pass through. You put a foot on it, and then the other, in fact, because as you brace against it, sitting down, because your head, it goes to your head, the warmth and arousal, that scent is going to your head, the feeling, the touch. Now, normally, you just get some information reported when you touch a surface, a flat, simple surface, but in this case, you're also getting pleasure, 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 as though to whatever kind of sensory touch information is being put out of the wall, your fingers, your palm were an erogenous zone, and the dripping between your legs is networked directly into your hand. So you sit down and push both feet against the wall, and then you feel something pulling at your lower back, pulling you up, forward. Something presses through, warm, wet, constricting around your ankles, pulling you up against the wall, your hands too being pulled till you're spread-eagled against it, and more data arrives, because previously you were just touching a little bit of your nude form to the wall, receiving scent, receiving sensation, receiving the thrum, it had stopped, it stops for a moment, and you have a moment to just think, to just be free and comfortable, and then it begins again, and oh, there is only the sheer arousal, you're dripping, drooling. Your entire body is involved in this feeling. You're being exposed to the wall, and as those appendages push out toward you, you are pulled flat against the wall, bound there. Tentacles from some creature beyond, binding you, bondage, comforting, squeezing. It actually feels very nice. How that decision was reached, it's impossible to know. Perhaps a consequence of the fact that you're getting so much more data than you normally would. Again, more, more. The more data arrives in your head, the more this is right. Heat, heat between your legs. Little tentacular suckers on the inside of the binding on your ankles and wrists are leaving some marks, some fading, dripping fluid, and when the tentacles readjust, they leave it open to the air where it vaporizes and soaks into you, appendages nipping gently at your thighs, gently at your buttocks, gently at your legs, your feet, leaving the tiniest dripping bit of that same venom. and your mind loves it. You push against the wall, you are being held firmly there, and the only receptivity there is for pleasure. Again, there's so much data coming down, they can surely select what gets conveyed to you, and if all that gets conveyed is pleasure, then any other thing is not going to have room to fit in. All the frequencies are being taken up by data from a place so much higher, so much more ascendant. That descent from above, it's like looking at a map head on. Sure, looking at a map of the world is not the same as going to a place, but if there were a laid out topographical map, someone much larger, much stronger, someone much higher up in the world could reach out and drop something down, one drop or two, and it could land anywhere on that map. In the same way, the topography of your mind has been laid out under these tendrils. You look at them, glancing at your wrist, glancing down at your ankles as much as you can, as you drool openly and drip between your legs. Throb, throb, throb. The thrumming is now coming in throbbing waves, which, because they are punctuated, give you just enough time to relax your body, to have a moment of reprieve. But yes, the signal coming down from above, and those tendrils which wind around you, you get the sense, the understanding, no, the knowledge, that there is more to them than you can see. But just like everything else, they are a cross-section. You can only receive 1, 2, 3, maybe 10 at the most signals from among the vast 100 tactile, 100 scent, 100 taste, 100 sound, 100 sight variables. But because this is an object from some higher dimension, pushing through the wall as though it were not there, because it is not, you are seeing only a cross-section of it, something more complex that looks thin and spread out and ropey, but really it's just touching your ankles, touching your wrists, and pinning you down effortlessly, holding you in place so it can inspect you, and you are being inspected. You have the sense of being looked at by something that knows you in all of your forms, in the fertile furrow where your mind is first planted, where all your thoughts exist in stem and seed and flower. In every season of you, you are known. In every way of being, every gestation of your thoughts from before they begin, you are known in a way of knowing so potent that simple thoughts like physicality or sensation are pointless. You are bound to the wall, and little suckers or beaks or some other small thing that can just nip you for an instant and leave venom behind that tingles pleasurably, that vaporizes seconds after it's placed on your skin, turning to vapor then soaking into you. The creatures are leaving a sparkling blaze of need. It isn't hot, cold. It's sensations beyond your normal understanding. Frequencies 3 and 6 and 9 now, but then 2 and 4 and 8, so it can feel like a completely different thing from one moment to the next, because you're only ever perceiving a cross-section of it, just like you know that what look like tendrils are not really tendrils, but look to you like glistening things passing through the wall are really arriving from somewhere above. You're sweated, moaning, trembling. They are licking and sucking away all secretion from between your legs. They are feeling you surrender because you do. Pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. The world is hazy, prismatic, distant. You're seeing more and more. You are barely here, but you are everywhere that you've been and will be. You feel it. You're exposed. The venom sets in. Your mind is being sparked. Heat, envenomation, rings of wetness exposed to the air as the tendrils adjust and leave you there. The creature fastens something between your legs, some vast surface, as though it were made perfectly suction in the front, right over you, soaking up all your moisture, and then with little tendrils beginning to work you as expertly as your own hand could, beginning to work you over the limit like a sex toy custom made for you. And again, you receive that signal of you're only getting the information it wants to give you, and all of it is pleasurable. Frequency 1 and 2 and 4, and the thrum. You try to think a thought, you try to create a thought, you try to birth a thought in the seedbed of your fertile mind, but instead thrum. Buzz from beyond and from everywhere and from nowhere at once, nowhere you can place. The sound is simply there in your head. You don't remember it starting. In fact, if you think about the instant which you thought was right now, the sound is not there, but it was there a moment ago. You remember it, and it's there in this instant when you remember this instant, and when you remember this instant, it's there. It's there even though you can't remember it arriving in the sound of your mind again and again and again. It's in and thrumming, overwhelming, humming, overwhelming every thought. It's just that, just so. You want to listen to it. You want it inside of you. You dream it into your mind. You feel it throb. It is between between your legs as well, where that tendril is fastening. But of course, something as simple as fastening is an impossibility. It is present, and yet it is not particularly there. You could hump right up against the wall, flat against it. You could drip right onto the floor. But the tendril that's there is encapsulating you, vibrating you, buzzing in time with the sound thrum. So you're receiving sound signals you'd never received before. You didn't know you could be getting off from sound. You could be getting fucked by the sound itself. But the thought of the sound, the memory of the sound, the memory of the throb between your own legs is actually what's getting you there. The fact that you are here, that you are in this moment, means that you are in a place where the state of you is to be fucked mercilessly and mindlessly. The tentacles are putting more of that venom in, and then your eyes rolling back, your whole body arching. It arrives. Heat, a tension that begins between your legs and it moves through you, and you go in an instant from not particularly there yet to coming. The lubrication between your legs is more heat, your buttocks being massaged, being filled with a tendril, long, thick, warm, but adaptable. So even though it slides inside at its thinnest point, barely even seeming to spread your whole, you're then filled inside in a way that pushes pleasure into you in a minimally disruptive way. It's just swelling against all your most sensitive spots in the front. You're fastened tight. It begins fucking, pushing pleasure in through your ass, and in the front you just hump mindlessly as tendrils masturbate you. Fingers, tongues, moving, sliding, lubrication leaving you even more dosed as between your legs the truth comes true. You're going to come. You're right on the edge, but you're already there. It's echoing backward from the future, forward from the past. Perfect moment, conflux here. You've been coming all along, and you've never come before, not like this. Pleasure making you spread eagled. You're glad you're restrained there, unable to close your legs, unable to move your arms. You're glad you're on display. You're glad you're helplessly on display. You're glad you're submitting to the movement and the spasm uninterrupted. The scent in the air gets stronger. One of the tendrils slides up, and like a mask over nose and mouth, it closes in place, and it begins to pump that smell. You taste one sliding on your tongue, and you suck on it eagerly, close, hot. Every part of your libidinous system, of your body's arousal system, is being activated at once. It is a dim animal feeling. You know this is because you can be activated, tweaked. You feel one of the tendrils massage behind your ears. You feel a soaked wetness across your brain. Heat. You are hot. You are honeyed. You are sweet. You are being marinated. The venom is passing through. Because these tendrils, which treat the wall as non-permeable, only treat you as a solid object because they want to. They can just as easily brush across you and put a venom that is more cognitive, more mental, more thought, more memory than anything else right into you. It's dosed into you, throbbing in you, virulent, constant. You throb, you spasm. If you didn't have the benefit of the tendrils holding you in place, you would shake mindlessly out of position. You are there against the wall, humping at the air, humping against the tendrils that are on you, using the tiny bit of leverage you can get until they bind your thighs and you submit. You collapse completely. You stay right where you are. You let it take you. Pleasure. Climax. You're coming. It's thrusting in and out in a movement that is thrumming, rhythmic, answering the signal. A signal from above that's a reminding in your mind, constantly in your mind, arriving again and again, reminding. Your mind easily slides back to it. The doors are wide open and every part of you is listening to the signal. The ring. Is this a test? Are they seeing how much you can take? Your arms spread in place make you feel even more suffused with delight. You can't move, can't squirm, so you have no outlet. You don't even want to cry out because you want to suck on the tendril you're sucking on. You want to breathe deep lungfuls of that pleasant-smelling, gaseous influence, that more venom, that is the air itself. You know that if the mask were not over your mouth, all the air in this room is full of the scent of them anyway. They are the only thing you breathe. And there's more than one creature, more than one beak nipping at you gently, more than one set of tendrils binding you, massaging you, rubbing you all over, finding all your most sensitive spots because they can see them. You want them to feed and they feed on your attention. The more attention you pay, the better. And you have whole entire wavelengths you're not touching. The 95% of your brain you don't really need being occupied by a signal from beyond, by signal 2 and signal 3 and signal 4 arriving in slot 4, slot 3, slot 2, but then they move out of the way and make room for signal 5, signal 6, signal 7, whole new flavors of pleasure. All your nerve endings are doused in heat, then in a gentle coldness that spreads pleasure, pleasure. Then you're being fucked, lubricated, but it's your mind, your thoughts, your memories being fucked and colonized with the spurting nature of them. Them, climax, you think of them, and the more you think of them, the more worshipfully you think of these tendrils binding you to this wall, of this thing from beyond, pumping its scent, its taste like nectar, its smell like something delicious you can't place, but you know it's them, a visceral sexual musk mixed with a faintly floral kind of, oh, that's good, but it isn't really that, it's spice, it's herb, it isn't really that, it's outside of anything you've ever felt before or understood before, because it is signal 2 and 3, but more than that, 4 and 5. You only have 2, 3, 4, 5 slots in you, and your body's response to being given too much information, more information than you can hold on to, seems to be to simply give up, to acquiesce and climax, to interpret receiving so much beneficial, pleasurable, because pleasure's all they're letting you feel, and you roll over for it, you submit deeper and deeper down to them. The more you feel that climax slide in, the more you realize you're responding with orgasm, because it's the only way you can interpret receiving information on wavelengths that have ever been untouched. Just like the first time you ever received sensual stimuli, it arrived in a way that was so new and so exciting you had no defense against it. You felt more, or you felt different. Here, the stimuli is on wavelength 2 or 3 or 4 of your mind, but you're receiving signal 97, signal 95, signal 93. There are so many gradations of pleasure and differing sensation that you don't ever need to do anything except let them arrive. You're dizzy with pleasure. Every breath brings the smell of them in. That's the most pervasive one, not the thrum that massages you down to your very musculature, not the way that the tendrils pass through you, leaving venom on the inside splendidly. No, it's the way that the smell is there. You want it. You need it. It's mixing with your fluids, catalyzing as something from a higher dimension touches you and reacts in ways even they couldn't predict. You come, you're receiving too much information, your fingers touching the wall are receiving pleasure, the pleasure of every erogenous zone being massaged at once as signals 2 and 3 and 4, because you have enough tactile bandwidth to receive information beyond the one channel you normally use. You can receive 2 and 3 and 4 and 5, and they have hundreds of things to tell you, and telling you enough of them makes you come. It just makes you come. It's beyond what you can ordinarily experience. It's climax, climax, lost, oblivious, climax, you're coming. The smell of your mixing fluids and too much information coming in, the taste of them, the smell of them, you concentrate it, you want it. You don't just want it, you need it. They're feeding off your thoughts, feeding off your fluids, feeding off you focusing on them and wanting them. The more they communicate, the more they are understood. Isn't that what everyone wants? To be understood. The more they're understood, the more your body spasms. You're not sure you can come anymore. Your ass is clenching. You didn't know you could come that hard from your ass. Your nipples are being massaged. Your mouth is being explored as you suck down their nectar. The scent covering you from the one still covering your mouth and nose, the one with the cap on the end that just provides a gentle mask. You can breathe as easily and freely as ever, but you're breathing their scent. Breathing their musk mixed with your aroma, the mixing fluids of both of you, and you're loving your own arousal. You love when you're horny, you love when you're coming, you love when they do it to you, because this is how they feed and this is what they love. It's so good, it's so okay, it's everything you wanted. You feel it, the thrum, your mind is empty, they're filling your mind, the signal is filling your mind. Finally, something that fills your mind enough to be the only thing on your mind and get rid of everything else. Everything else fades away because this is the only thing on your mind. The only thing you need to have on your mind is this thing here, this sensation here, this experience here is the only thing on your mind, and it's more than enough for you to get every little thing that you need to have on your mind off of it, because they are the only thing, they are all you need. You feel it, and you feel yourself gently being eased down until you're in contact with the floor, but with their venom in your system. Oh, you're easing over to the bed with your venom in their system, with their venom in your system, with your information in their system, with their information in your system. You're losing track of where the line is, but all you know is that pleasure is everything. You're spasming, you're thrashing, pleasure, your core is clenching, your mouth is opening and closing, you're sucking so hard, sweat standing on your body, but they're licking it up. Oh, they want it, oh, they need it, oh, this is what they want and need. You feel as they slide out of you, slow, you're being emptied, you're desperate, you want them back, you're being released, your wrists are being released, even the vacancy inside your mind notices that the little wet spots where those tinier tendrils envenomated you, the little nips, the binding marks where they'd reddened you by binding you to the wall, all these things are revealed and are slowly, slowly intensifying your pleasure. You come one final devastating time as they send a burst of information into your head before they depart, and they leave you there as consciousness slowly, darkly, splendidly fades to an exhausted, ordinary nothing where your mind is nonetheless empty of them, and you're desperate to have them back inside your walls.